scene opens on a dense fog over mirror still water. The occasional wet slap of wood upon water echoes through the fog, and a canoe emerges. Flora leans over the front of the canoe, squinting, scanning the limited visibility for recognizable shapes. Behind her, Daisy pants happily, only pausing to sniff the air curiously before letting her tongue loll carelessly out of her mouth again. I was like, letting her tongue LOL.
Oh, reading comprehension in the internet.
I don't reckon you'll find what you're looking for in the water,
Joral shouts from the back of the canoe.
Them gators like it down here because it's so dark. Well, we should be getting the boneyard just about now, though.
Just as she says it, the landmass of the boneyard looms out of the fog. Flora hops out of the canoe and slides up to the edge. She immediately sinks into the mud up to her knees.
Whoa, hold on, stay.
Daisy, who is just about to hop out, freezes at the command.
I am not going to spend all night brushing this mud out of your fur. Just wait here.
Daisy wobbles the whole canoe when she plops back down, huffing disapproval through her snout. Flora wades forward to firmer ground and finds her way through the woods until she recognizes the tall tree that she had climbed before.
Hello?
She calls up the tree, but is met with silence.
I'm just here to check on you and the baby. I wasn't sure how that battle with the alligator turned out, so I thought I'd just check.
More silence. The tree sways calmly in the wind.
Okay, I guess I'm coming up.
It takes a few minutes to navigate the branches, but eventually she is able to peek her head over the edge of this massive nest. She gasps and has to reset her footing when she sees the grisly scene. Right where they had left her is the body of the mother manticore, days old now and covered in flies. Next to her, and in less recognizable shape, the father. Massive bite wounds, dried blood, and broken limbs tell the tale of the battle he'd lost to the ancient gator. Flora climbs into the nest and looks more closely, examining smaller bite wounds that were obviously inflicted after death. Slowly losing hope, she picks through the scraps of refuse in the nest, silently praying to Caden Kalian that she can spot a spiked tail or hear a cry. As if in answer to her prayer, Daisy lets out a loud, short, alert bark. Taking a last quick scan of the nest, Flora hops back down over the edge and drops more than climbs down the tree. When she reaches the canoe, Joral points down the shore.
I tried to stop her, but she won't listen to me.
Following where Joral is pointing, Flora can see Daisy, chest deep in mud, trying to push herself out into the bog toward a log with an oddly shaped lump on it. As Daisy crawls closer, the lump raises its head, spreads its tiny wings, and lets out the best baby manticore roar it can manage, baring its teeth at the approaching threat. With a mix of relief and amusement, Flora squelches into the bog, mud filling her boots. And scene. Well, here we are again. Episode 46 of Wake of Whispers Season 2.
Nice!
We have completed the trial of the Tim, as we have changed the name of this book to. Tim, innocent, freed into his own volition, off into the swamp, into the night, returning home to apparently go visit his father, as he mentioned briefly. He was always a little tight-lipped about. Zeke, Flora, Sidriel, not in jail anymore.
That's right.
Acquitted. The glove did not fit. You're bailed out, essentially. Released without trial or charge. Somebody in high places is looking out for you. You were paid your handsome reward for completing this task for Judge Derriman, and here you are in Leopardstead. You've got a little bit of free time ahead of you, it looks like. But first things first, when you met with Judge Derriman, somebody did not show to the meeting. Laura, who said she would be there, abandoned you. She just didn't show. Nobody knew where she went, and nobody went to look for her either. They just probably just, you guys didn't really care about her, it seems like.
Just wrote her off. Oh, well, she's dead.
We went and found a new halfling friend for the party. Got drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very quickly replaced.
That's right. You had some drinks with Goody, didn't you? And that night, in the dark, in the rain, there was a... Fuck, I forget. Did you knock?
There was a knock, yeah. Or at least a rattling of the door handle.
Was there a stone of alarm?
Stone of alarm.
Amazing.
Meg, I hope you remember the password. We might have to fight Flora if she doesn't remember the password.
Does Flora remember the password?
I do not. Wait. Fist whistle. Yes, I do.
Oh, shit.
Nailed it.
I didn't remember it.
Ha!
All right. The alarm does not go off. A rap, rap, rap. Is that how you... Is that a thing? Do you rap, rap, rap upon a door?
Upon a chamber door. If you're Edgar Allan Poe, sure.
Is it three raps?
My God.
Try rap?
I don't think she... She would not knock on her own home door. She just tried to open it. But, like, you know, couldn't because her hands were full. And it was wet.
That's why you're kicking it. So somebody opens the door for you.
Yeah.
You're like, my arms are fucking full. Hey, guys.
Someone's in the chat chilling. Oh, no, they're not anymore. A rap, rap, rap upon the chamber door. Thunder strikes, and it sounded like Stormak opened the door.
Yes.
Saying,
Flora, is that you?
And into the firelight of the living room of Auslan's abode comes a filthy, wet, shambling figure.
Squelch.
What do they see?
Flora walks in, but she's, like, covered in, like, thick, like, mud and dripping wet and holding a very large bundle that's, like, almost the size of her. And Daisy's there, too, but she's also muddy and wet. And she's, like, trying to kick her shoes off and shut the door at the same time.
Who's all down in the living room at the moment?
I'm pretty sure I'm passed out in the chair. And... I think when Stormak starts stirring and being like, oh, Flora, is that you? He jumps up and the bottle that's in his hand and he takes it out like a rapier. There's a playing card stuck to his forehead. And he's like, oh, who's there?
Oh. And Goody was there too, wasn't he?
Yeah. We'll say he's like passed out in a chair by the fire.
Okay.
Does Flora say anything?
Well, yeah, she comes in. She's like, yeah, hi. Look out. I'm wet. And, like, she tries to get in the door and shut the door and take her boots off. She's like, oh, Auslan's gonna kill me if I get this much mud in the house.
What is that smell? Oh! Oh, my God!
Ah, this is swamp mud. It stinks.
What do you have there, Flora?
Oh, well, I went back to check on the, you remember in the swamp with that big manticore that saved us? With the, what was his name? Toothy?
I'm trying to forget.
Yeah, so I was worried about him, so I went to go check on him to make sure he was okay. And he wasn't. So I went I mean, I couldn't find him, so I went to the nest, and he was dead, and the baby was there, and I didn't know what to do with it, so I just took it, and she, like, takes the blanket off of it, and she has this, like, little baby manticore that's making adorable faces at you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my! Flora, you've brought a manticore into the home.
It's just a baby.
But what happens when he grows?
Well, I was thinking we could, you know, if we raise him, what does Timon say when they find the lion? But what if he's on our side?
My mom always said them pigs are cute and everybody wants them until they start to get big and start shitting on the couch.
Well, you train them not to do that. That's like step one.
There ain't no training a pig.
Well, everybody still wants them. They just want to eat them.
Do you know how to train a manticore?
She's, like, holding it up with her hands under the armpits and, like, looking at it. She's like, you can't be that much different from dogs, right?
Stormak has, like, a hand ready. And he's like, it has a stinger on its tail. And he's, like, thinking that it's going to sting somebody.
Sindriel, look!
Flora, I don't mean to alarm you, but I think you have a manticore stuck to your front.
Yeah, I know, but I think it's gonna be friendly.
Oh yeah, you know, like the one that tried to murder us in a swamp.
Look how cute its face is.
No, I mean, if you raise it and you teach it how to be, it's fine. I'll raise it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't see how that could possibly go wrong.
No, I don't want that kind of manticore. This one looks like a baby lion.
A gross little baby lion with a human face?
No, with a lion face.
Did we have the artwork for that?
Oh, yeah, no, I've got the artwork. Hang on, let me find it.
No, not Wes's artwork. I refuse.
Whoever posts it first gets it.
No, don't do
that. Hang on, I got it. It's here.
You better hurry.
I can't minimize Hero Lab. No. No. Stop. Oh my God. No. Baby Manticore, go. Oh, thank God. I did it. No, I got it.
That was close.
One of these. Jesus Christ.
That little baby was just almost real messed up looking.
You had me so worried there for a second. Very, very worried.
That's great radio, guys. picture competition in the chat. I love it.
Oh, wait. Is the one Ryan posted canon?
Where the hell did I put mine? No. I just sent mine.
Oh, you put it in the wrong chat.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't count.
No, it's the same channel. Oh. It's the same fucking channel. Meg. Come on.
You put it in the wrong channel.
You did. Sadly.
Shut up. That's the one I had open. You made me panic. It's not. That doesn't count. Timestamps, I win.
Rules.
No, timestamps, I win. Oh, timestamps, they tie.
Well, they're both very cute.
Meg, John took all the time to make all these channels in this Discord and misspell most of them. But you could at least respect which channels are for which thing, you know? Come on.
And then he made me panic race west to find a manticore picture or else mine was going to end up looking like that. No. That was so stressful. I did not need that. Johnny!
Goody kind of stirs. He's like, I almost sold that racket then.
Brace yourself, Goody. There's a baby manticore in the house.
What now?
By the way, have the two of you met Goody? Flora?
Oh yeah, let's do this while I hold a manticore out in front of me.
He goes up to the manticore. He's like, oh, hello there, Flora. You're so cute. Oh, so good.
But, yeah, Flora is like, oh, hi, yeah. She, like, tucks the manticore back under her arm and holds out a hand.
My pleasure. Oh, you're quite a bit of a mess, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. The swamp's wet, and it's raining.
He kind of, like, just, like, looks at you for a second, blank-faced, kind of, like, he's trying to figure out where he knows you from.
Stormax looking back and forth between the two of them.
She kind of, like, yeah, so I'm gonna go clean up. Anyone want to watch him? Or... She's, like, holding the baby up, like, huh? Or should I just take him with me?
You know, it's funny, I had a baby sister named Flora.
And she kind of, like, stiffens up for a second, and she's like, had?
Well, is this the one named Goodleaf you said you were talking about there, Stormac?
Aye.
Well, my name is Goody because my last name is Goodleaf as well. I lost track of my sister when the slavers came when I was a wee lad.
And she kind of, like, fumbles around, and she puts the baby down, and she, like, starts digging into her jacket, and she pulls the necklace that she has on. She's like, does this look familiar? And it's a little, like, carving of the leaf.
You look up when you hold that up, and he had just pulled a similar carving out. And you both say, does this look familiar?
At the same time. And she's like, oh, my God.
Oh, you've got to be shitting me. It can't be.
I never thought I'd find anyone.
It's me, Hawthorne.
Dad talked about you all the time.
Oh, dear God. And he closes in for a big old, well, a tiny little bear hug.
Oh, big wet bear hug. Big halfling wet bear hug.
Yeah, he just goes all in, and, like, his face is pressed into your shoulder, like, getting covered in mud.
Yeah. Sobbing. They're both sobbing.
He doesn't care. Oh!
Stormax all smiles.
Zeke looks down at the two embracing halflings, just says, damn, what a touching moment, as he kind of falls backwards over the chair, drunk, passes out.
Oh, yeah, you guys are wasted.
God. What? I can't believe it. What even happened back then?
But I ended up with Mom and Dad because I was too small, I guess, to be taken away. And then when I got older, I was taken from the same place we were all working, and then I never made it back.
You said you left our parents.
No, I got, like, slave-napped, I guess. I got taken away and then injured, and then I wasn't able to get back, and I've been trying to figure out a way to get them out of there, but I, short of just buying them, I don't know what to do. And we're having this conversation in the middle of the living room around everybody else.
So have the two of you ever sing a duet, wondering if you're looking up the same moon at the same time?
Somewhere out there. I've been trying to look for them any way I can pretty much my whole life. You say, and you know where they are.
Yeah, I mean, unless they've been moved, they're probably still there. I've been kind of saving up money. It's the only idea I have.
Oh, well, that's something. I'll be damned. First a sister, now me. God's damn parents as well.
Oh, they'll be so happy to know you're alive.
Oh, so you've got anything to drink in this place? I'd like to celebrate.
Stormax is just all smiling.
Yes, there's still some left. Oh, this is wonderful. Family is so important. And he serves it up for Flora and Hawthorne.
Yeah, she's like, guys, this is my brother. And Sid, come down here. She's, like, waving you down, like, pulling him around. Yeah, this is my oldest brother.
Ah, brother. I like the sound of that. You sure this isn't a dream? So what are you doing here with these crazy bastards?
He
kind of slaps Zeke on the shoulder. He has to jump, though.
Zeke said he's asleep. He passed out on the floor behind the chair.
Oh, never mind.
Kicks him a little. She tells the whole story. Like, she'll tuck in the baby, make sure he's all asleep, and, like, the whole time just talking about what we've all been through and everything. Catch him up.
You said you lived here. And how long?
Oh, a handful of years. I've lost track. But it's been maybe almost 10.
I'm actually amazed that we haven't run into each other already.
I mean, maybe we had and just didn't recognize.
Yeah.
Stormak's lifting Zeke up off the ground and putting him in a chair, and he looks over to Goody as he's doing so. He goes, "What's with all the questions? What are you, a constable?" And he puts Zeke in a chair somewhere.
Zeke's like, not anymore. Passes back out.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah, word on the street there is my man lost his sword and sigil.
Yeah, he said he got fired. Did I hear that? Yes, I did.
For the better, if you ask me. You know, I've been looking for our other siblings as well. I was trying to find a lead on our parents. We should sit down and talk about it sometime soon. I'd love to get a bit of sleep now, though. What time is it, even?
I'm talking to some friends, honey. You're supposed to be in bed.
Is that the manticore?
Yeah. Oh, come here. The show was scary.
Aww. Yeah, Nemo got flushed into a toilet.
Oh, I'm sorry, baby. Nemo got flushed down a toilet.
But Nemo was in the toilet, and he wasn't in the toilet.
Okay,
all right. That's funny.
That is funny. There's Daddy. It's okay. I'll be up in a minute. I love you. Sorry, guys. Okay, he's back upstairs.
Cute.
All right, we accept your apology. We'll allow that to happen just one time, Meg. Never again.
So sorry.
You've been warned.
But now you all know that Nemo got flushed down the toilet. And it was scary.
I'd really appreciate that if you keep it to the spoilers channel, please.
unless there's any other ground you're trying to cover before bed.
No, I think we're gonna get the baby to bed, and maybe Flora will stay up and like chat with her brother for a while, but like just catching up kind of thing.
Anybody check her skin?
Messed up.
Well, the morning breaks. What do you guys think you might do with yourselves now that you don't have deadlines and obligations and epic quests to go on for a moment?
Stormak wakes up early. He's going out jogging around Lepidstad. He's like Rocky out there, just like training and jogging around the city. He's doing just an inkling of parkour, jumping off stuff, jumping up to touch a eave of a roof or something like that.
No he's way. Just,
he can jump.
All the way up to the eave of a roof?
Well, how? What does that even mean? Just to touch like like the ceiling of a patio or something like that?
Or with your hand?
10 feet?
Maybe like a hanging sign.
He's like Steph Curry. He's got hops.
I think she's picturing you jumping all the way and landing up there.
No, like just
that's what she was picturing. I think.
No, just like you know, the top of a door or the you know the a little yeah. partition of a roof.
Like a hanging sign.
Yeah, that sort of thing. He's running around. He's having a good time. He's just taking in the city. You know, perhaps he buys a pastry somewhere or buys a fresh piece of fruit somewhere, and he's just like smiling and taking in everything that he can see in the city. That's what his morning is looking like.
Right on.
He goes shopping, he buys some things. We kind of covered some of that last time.
Yeah, over the next few days, you probably could do whatever shopping you all felt like doing in town here. What does Sidriel do this morning?
Sid's going to try to make his way over to the academy or university, try to get some reading on. Ooh. He'll try to be a little kind of incognito. He's still a little nervous about walking around town, so maybe like hood up, trying to kind of keep to the back roads or side streets. Just being a backstreet boy.
Yeah. Why don't you roll me a luck roll real quick?
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Just for fun.
Sure. 57.
As you approach the university, you notice that it seems to be back in business. Business wouldn't be the right word, would it? Back in...
action?
Schooliness.
Operation?
Back in...
school time.
Class is back in...
session.
Session. There we go. And there are people in and out of all the buildings. Nothing is cordoned off anymore. The repairs to the destroyed portion of the university are all finished. And it is a hustling, bustling hive of academia. What are your plans here?
I think mostly I just want to kind of get into the library and do some good old book reading. Maybe, I don't know, scribe some spells and stuff while I'm here, but mostly just kind of want to study. Just mostly library stuff.
Yeah, didn't somebody say that they would get you access?
Yes.
Get that access, right?
Oh, that access.
Let's say you got a hall pass. I believe it may have been Dr. Montigny Crowell from the
Partner. Yeah, that guy Sid was super friendly with
that,
before.
Was a friend of Ozul's that you had returned books to, who said he could totally get you access to the library once it was back open. And maybe you see him as you come onto campus hustling about. Like, oh, Master Asrene, how are you?
I'm okay. Been better. It's been a little weird lately.
Oh, why is that?
Maybe you heard there was a little bit of a scuffle at the courthouse recently.
Oh, a scuffle?
Yeah, that's probably the best word for it. Scuffle.
I heard it was a kerfuffle, though.
Okay, but I think we just established scuffle was the best word for it.
Give me a reflex save.
26.
Your spider senses tingle as you are able to foresee the oncoming dire tomato to the back of your head.
Divination.
With little effort.
Yeah, so like a little poorly CGI'd Han Solo head duck.
It splatters all over Dr. Crowell's fine hippie robes.
You got a bit of red on you.
Oh, dear. Why don't we go inside?
Yeah.
The library is up and running. I promised you access, and there shouldn't be any problems. Why don't I just walk you in, and I'll introduce you to the... to the doorman, and you should be free to come and go as you please.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get inside.
I tell you what, you're somewhat of a master of the arcane arts, is that right? He looks down at his tomato-covered robes, and he's like,
Shiggity Schwade, I guess I'm your maid. Prestidigitation.
Oh, much better. Thank you so much. Now, guess what is it that you were looking for?
I guess a lot of things. Specifically, kind of interested in, like, flesh golem creation, maintenance, that kind of thing. But yeah, I guess also anything about, like, strange goings-ons around the area? Or historically?
Yeah. Now, most of the library is concerning the anatomical sciences, as it were. But we have a little bit of a collection of odd magical tomes and somewhat curiosities, oddities. I think we can find what you're looking for. I just came in possession of a flesh golem manual, actually. It was donated to the school. You're welcome to look at it. I cannot take it out of the library, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty handy. Any idea who it was donated by?
I could check the records, but I seem to remember that there was not a name attached to it.
Okay, well, you just point me to the book. That'll be fine.
Absolutely. And he will point you to the direction. You can find books on all the stuff you're looking for. Is there a mechanical benefit you're looking for?
So I wasn't really fishing for a mechanical benefit. I will absolutely take one if you want to hand one out. I'm kind of just reading like as much general knowledge about the area as I can. So maybe like
sure.
Bonus to knowledge local checks or like a free reroll or something.
Yeah. I mean, that or, you know, you can get a free knowledge check or something for studying. Work something out.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
And he will pull out the Flesh Golem Manual. This is a magical tome, a wondrous item even. But you are able to do some research for a while. You also have some scribing to do yourself, don't you? You have a spell book that you had plans for?
Yeah, I think I wanted to copy down some spells, maybe scribe some scrolls. We just kind of weave that in between studying and hanging out in the library. Library seems like a good place to do some writing.
Yeah. What about Zeke this morning? What is he doing?
Zeke, still feeling mighty hungover and weak from that battle. He still has 5 strength damage. He's gonna whip up a couple of lesser resters, I think, and take those, and nurse his hangover for today, and pick up some of those books that we took from Vorkstag and Grinds, and look through them. Reorient himself with the alchemical ways.
Right on. And yet, you are able to do that. At one point, Goody tries to get you to go out for a beer.
Well, a little hair of the dog will never kill you. One beer, Goody. One.
Good lord.
It's one and done.
One
and done.
Just one and done.
Classic. Let's go.
You guys have a problem.
It's your brother. It's not me.
Your fantasy drinking is out of control.
As you are walking to the bar, you do notice an old childhood friend, Kendra Lormer, walking arm in arm with Mr. Well-to-Do himself, Adivian Adresant.
Oh, Mr. Too Good for the Final Trial, Adivian Adresant, that one?
He probably just had shit to do.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Like the trial of the century.
Or he's a skinwalker.
Yeah, I think Zeke will, like, kind of look at him, and when they get close, he'll be like, Kendra? Adivian? Reach out his hand, try to shake his hand.
He'll reach out and shake it. Ah, Mr. Kane. Pleasure to see you. I heard that the trial ended up going well for you.
I was just trying to give the man a proper defense. You put up a good fight, too, for your side as well, but ultimately, I think the truth prevailed. I will say, it was fun, though.
I had a wonderful time. You did an outstanding job. Very talented.
And that's a little weird to say, considering you were gambling on a man's life, but I'll bid you two do. He, like, sizes him up. When he sizes him up, how do you do the... Is it a perception check versus his disguise?
Oh, for skinwalkins?
Yeah, for sense motive.
I think it is perception. Let me make sure, though. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, perception checks versus disguise.
All right, perception. D20 plus a D6 plus 9. Here we go, baby. Oh, that's pretty good. It's 14 on the D20 plus 6 plus 9 is 29.
All right. Yeah. His skin appears to be attached to his bones.
God damn it, Johnny. God damn it.
My heart stopped for a second. I was like, oh no.
Not fucking cool. And he nods and continues walking.
Good to see you, Zeke.
Kandra?
Could you do say hi to Flora and Sidriel and Stormac for me?
Oh, can do.
If you let them know that they're always welcome to visit anytime they like.
Zeke has moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah, is she? yep, okay. Bye.
Poor Kendra.
Just right down the road.
Oh. Breaking my heart.
They lock arms again and continue down the road. Looks like they're just having a nice, pleasant stroll through town. You guys go to the dead goat, I imagine, and have a drink. And what about Flora? Got any plans, Stan?
She is probably trying to spend time with her newfound family, but he seems to be at the bar.
He probably would have invited you if you hadn't gone somewhere else first.
I mean, I don't think she and Zeke would be... Did Zeke stay at our house, or did he go home?
He did.
He stayed there. Stay at your house. Awesome.
Well, she's got like the manticore strapped to her like a baby Bjorn kind of thing, like on the front. And she's like, you know what? I don't think I should take him out.
You don't think it likes beer?
Well, I don't know about... I don't know
if doesn't everything like beer.
No, but I don't think the people at the Dead Goat are going to appreciate a manticore.
Hell, why not? They got everything else in there.
Yeah, it would. That's true. I'm going to give him a few days. I'll just be here when you guys get back.
Mom always said you can't drink your entire life unless you start as a baby, so better get him early. Let's go.
Yeah, so what, do you stay home with the baby? Is that your cool adventure?
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to start kind of like getting him used to this. Oh god, this is starting to reflect real life a little bit, but then she's...
What have you done?
Shit! No, she's just, you know, starting to sort of like train him the way you would a puppy. You know how you take like pupternity leave when you get a dog? Like, you stay home with it for a few days.
I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. Totally a thing.
We can tell John anything about dogs.
Yes.
He has. He sent us pictures.
I live with 4 dogs.
But are you aware that when you adopt a new dog, your job has to pay you? Pupternity leave. You still get paid. And you don't have to come into work. It's a thing. Everybody knows about it.
Yeah, I've claimed it several times and I've never actually adopted a dog.
Put this before what Ryan just said, but that's a really mean way to talk about your roommates, Johnny.
D-A-W-G.
I put this before what Meg just said. No, this is a slippery slope.
Me editing this episode, like, I'll put this over there.
That doesn't even make sense.
Right on. Stormac?
Inevitably, Stormac winds up back at the Temple of Torag, wanting to talk with Father Bolin more.
Yeah, why don't we cut back to Stormac at the Temple of Torag? You approach the circular building and... The forges are still going. The sound of hammers on anvils emanates out as you approach. You see Father Bolin tending to what looks like somebody who is wounded. And he places a hand on them and grasps his holy symbol and heals some of their injuries. And they give thanks and payment And as they're walking away, he looks up and sees you come in. Ah, there he is.
Good day, Father.
It is, isn't it?
It is, yes. I was hoping I could spend some time at an anvil today.
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. Come. I know just the one.
Stormak's slapping his hands together. He's all excited. He's not wearing his backpack, which he's almost always wearing. He's just in kind of his lightest possible gear.
You appear as though a weight has been lifted off of your shoulders, my friend.
Yes, yes, it has. The trial went well, and my friends are healthy and safe. And I'm here to give thanks for that.
Excellent, excellent. And what of this strange beast that has plagued you?
Well, Father, as is our way, I want to forge some small hammers for my friends.
A fine gift.
And so throughout the day, Stormak works with tools that are familiar to him, but not his tools. And he's not particularly skilled at this, but it's almost like a craft project. And he attempts to forge a series of small hammers. They're too small to actually be used as hammers. They're almost like keychain size.
Keychains, nice.
Well, they're holy symbols of Torag, but they're small.
Nice.
Yeah.
And he forges many of them. And he takes time with like a tiny chisel, and he engraves things in each one of them. And he works probably into the night, making a series of these.
You got enough bear traps to make 100 hammers.
Yeah, he pretty much donated those bear traps and the scrap of those little homunculi or whatever they were.
Yeah.
He didn't really expect to get paid for that.
You gave Father Bolin tons of money. Very generous.
Yeah, donations to the temple.
And he comes and checks on you throughout the day and night, and maybe corrects your process here and there in a nice way.
Yeah, Stormak's making like a half dozen of them, so they probably get better as he goes. The last couple that he makes them really small. Like, he's gotten better and better at it, and so they've become more and more refined.
Nice. And you work on that into the night, huh?
As long as it takes.
Alright.
He's in the zone.
Anything else for the day from Zeke? You are 3 beers in now. With
no,
Goody.
He probably takes off after that and no. goes back to reading. I mean, really he's trying to decode the spellbook from Vorkstag. He really wants to figure that out.
Cool. No matter what the spell source, you must first decipher the magical writing. Next, you must spend an hour studying it. At the end of the hour, you must make a spellcraft check. And I think it's the same for formula.
You know, Sarah and I vote that it's just flavor. You just hand wave all that shit.
That's what I vote. I mean,
right, Sarah?
Because this is a democracy.
Decipher it. You must make a spellcraft DC 20 plus the spell level. If it fails, you cannot attempt to read that spell again until the next day, or you cast Read Magic. So you could try to decipher some spells.
Alright, okay, yeah. Sorry, I was finding the list in his formulae book. I think I want to start with Blur.
Classic. Throw a spellcraft.
What's the spell level?
I think that's 2.
Okay, so 22 to decipher, right?
Yeah.
Alright, that's 16 plus 9 is 25.
Cool. So you're able to decipher the crude handwriting and notations that Vorkstag had written this spell in. As like every spell book or formulae book is in a sort of unique script, unique to the person writing it, who owns it.
It's a good idea, I guess.
So you're able to decipher through his spell language, so to speak, and understand the blur spell. You can spend an hour in a spellcraft check to learn it or copy it into your...
Nice get.
And I will try that. So that's a 15 plus the spell level, so 17?
15 plus spell level, yes.
Okay, cool. Shooting for a fucking 8. Come on. Oh, that'll work. Oh yeah, that passes by far.
All right. You understand the formula for blur now, and you could copy it into your spell book. They don't make this easy, do they?
At least it's exciting.
Yeah, that is one bonus.
It's one bonus. So super exciting. Fucking exciting to listen to.
Takes 1 hour per spell level, and it'll cost 40 gold for a level 2 spell, and 2 hours. So 3 hours total for you to do this spell, and 40 gold in supplies, I guess, to scribe it in your own notations.
Perfect. Yeah, I assume that once Ezekiel Cain has deciphered it and reads it, he's like, fuck! And he has to run out to the alchemist shop to get some, like, special ink or something. He's like, god damn it, and a new quill, because his quill breaks. And then he runs back, and then he copies it. I would assume that this first one takes all day.
Yeah.
He's getting back in the swing.
Yeah, and you're learning how this psychopath writes in his own weird little notation style.
Is there anything I can learn from the way he does that, like any clues maybe, just like about him, and be like, wow, who the fuck writes a recipe like this, or a procedure?
He dots all his I's with little hearts.
No, he does.
Shoo. Anything else from Flora?
On day one?
Yeah.
No, she's
just doing the baby stuff?
Figuring out how to train him and trying to see, like, just getting the training stuff figured out. Trying to teach him some manners.
It could probably barely even walk still.
Yeah, it's just a baby.
Daisy is super curious, as well as all the other puppies, like, come and take turns, like, sniffing and getting in its face in a loving way.
Yeah, the way I picture it, it's, like, gonna be like one of the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you raise a kitten with a bunch of puppies and it acts like a dog.
Starts barking.
Definitely.
Right on.
I mean, the manticore could, because they learn, like, language, don't they? So, like, it can make bark noises.
Yeah, and at a certain point you see Zeke come back. Or did you go to your house, Zeke, or back to Auslan's?
Auslan's.
Right on. You see Zeke come back. Goody stayed at the bar.
Fine. He has a problem, doesn't he? I'm gonna have to face this, aren't I?
And Auslan cooks a big dinner on that night. Goody comes back eventually. It's kind of late. He's stumbling a bit.
Does he not have his own home?
Maybe there's the alarm is on the door.
He sets off the stone of alarm.
Would you keep putting it there?
Yeah, we don't know where the skinwalker went.
Oh, yeah, so maybe he sets it off when he comes home and just, like, tries to open a door drunk. But he's, like, pokes his head in. It's like a loud noise going on. It's like, oh, could I stay here again tonight, please?
And Flora's immediately like, yeah, of course you can.
What is that awful racket?
Oh, that's the fist whistle! She's like shouting it over the...
Oh, he falls down into a chair. Oh, dear Lord, it's my head.
Why are you still drunk?
Oh, I suppose I just had a lot to celebrate.
Okay.
And I just came into a bit of money, and I don't know, nothing else to do with it.
Oh. He's like, yeah, okay. gives him sort of a side look, but she's not comfortable mothering this guy yet. She's just going to let him do his thing.
And yeah, Stormak, you come back too? Or
sure. Yeah, he comes home. He's all covered in dirt and sweat from the forge. He's carrying a small bag.
Ooh. Has he got Christmas presents?
Yeah, he sure does. Stormak will be excited to share with his friends if they're all there. He reaches into the bag one by one and goes around and gives you these small hammers. He has one for Sidriel. He has one for Zeke. He has a smaller one for Flora and another smaller one for Daisy.
Oh, for her collar.
And they are attached to these long leather cords. This is something you can find on the gear list. This is a weapon cord, so you no longer need to be dropping your weapons in combat. This is a 2-foot leather strap attached to your weapon or to your wrist. If you drop your weapon, you can recover it as a move action. It never moves further from you than an adjacent square.
So oh.
He literally gives you a keychain for your weapon.
Nice. I thought we'd been recovering move action weapons as a move action.
Yeah, but this way, if you're like running or something, it stays with you.
Oh, you just drag it. Nice.
Or if you're, you know, balancing on a balance beam, it doesn't fall into a vat of acid or what have you.
Yeah, perfect.
Seems like an oddly specific example, but okay.
Nice.
So I did a little artwork here. Let's throw it in the chat.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love artwork. Aw. Aw.
Cute.
So just these nice little hammers of Torag, and each one has an inscription for Flora from your friend Stormak, and etc. to each one of you.
Aww.
That's so nice. Flora loves it.
What a guy.
He's proud but humble, and he's happy to gift you with these. And he says, "This is a tradition among dwarves to present this symbol of dwarven." And he's like getting all choked up. And he says, to share our dwarvenness with non-dwarves is something special." And he like, "Well, I should probably get cleaned up." And he's like a little embarrassed. He's ready to rush off to get cleaned up.
Flora gives him a quick hug. "Thank you."
"Oh, I'm dirty, Flora. Oh, you're welcome." he hugs her back.
She ties one onto Daisy. "Look at you, aren't you the prettiest thing in the world?"
And he produces 2 more weapon cords, and he's like, "Flora, please stop dropping your weapons." And he gives you 2 extra weapon cords.
Never.
Well,
he calls it a night.
The morning comes. And what do you guys got for today? It is Fire Day the 11th. Don't quote me on that.
It's all good. There's no record of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think really every day for Flora is going to be a lot of like basic beginning training for the Manticore and trying to just like hang out and catch up and get to know Hawthorne, Goody, whatever he prefers to go by.
Agreed. Most of my days are going to consist of learning some spells and potentially learning from Sidriel as well, if he's into that.
That's right.
You seem like a very smart man.
Yeah, you are. And if you guys are doing that around the house, then Flora will hang nearby. She's curious about magic, but she has no idea how it works. So she'll watch you.
Yeah, at some point when we're all hanging out around the house, Stormak will produce his new composite longbow that he has purchased. And he'll say, Sidriel, please take a look at this and attempt to get some knowledge out of Sidriel about how longbows work differently than crossbows. He's like smiling, looking up at you.
Aww.
Yeah. Also, over the course of days, Stormak has to breach this subject about the Boule coming back, and tell the gang that he's gonna have to leave, but he doesn't want to say that right away. He plans to he's gonna have to leave Leopardstadt on the fourth day.
So we just take it out to a field and take care of it. What's the big deal?
Well, I didn't want to expect everyone to go with me, but yes, that would be ideal.
Flora goes, come on, Stormak, aren't we adventurers? Oh, thank God. Aren't we heroes? Pats him on the shoulder.
He smiles and nods.
So you do bring it up today.
He was trying not to, but he doesn't want to deceive them. So yes, he does tell them. He takes the boule out of his pocket and puts it on the table. And like you said, it is like drawn to him, or if he tries to walk away, I forget exactly what you said.
Oh yeah, it kind of just ends up back on your person.
So maybe he goes to the window and he shows everyone. He says, this thing, this magical thing. And he throws it out the window.
Yeah. Oh.
You just feel the weight return to like your pocket.
He comes back to the table, reaches in his pocket and pulls it out and puts it on the table. He says, this thing is with me now. Always, apparently. He throws it out the window again.
Hot damn.
Just does like a perfect toss right out the window. If he could win a prize, he'd get it every time. He pulls it out of his pocket again, puts it on the table. Father Bolin has explained to me that this item bears a curse. While I was at the temple a night ago, a true-sized version of this creature tore up out of the floor.
Tore up from the flora.
Killing a dwarf there at the temple. The father tells me that this creature will return again in a number of days' time. 2 days' time. 3 days' time.
But what happens if we kill it? Will it just keep coming back, or does that solve the curse?
That may solve the curse.
Yeah. Well, we might want some backup.
It is a menace. A true beast.
Yeah. We just take it into a field and kill it.
Very well. He picks it up off the table, pockets it again. All this magic learning is pretty interesting to him. I think he's wanting to hang out during all of that. He's not writing anything down. He's just listening, and I think he's picking up some stuff. He's just osmosis, just in the room with these magic users. He's just listening. Nice. What you got?
That's good. Oh, I don't know. I just had this daydream of us sitting around, and we're kind of like in Skyrim, and I'm like, it's Sabercat Eye and Purple Mountain Flower and Dragon's Tongue. And you're like, no, wrong order.
You're gonna give yourself strength damage.
Like crafting potions. Sorry. Exactly. You're gonna give yourself strength damage. All right, sorry. I would like to learn invisibility out of Vorkstag's book.
Solid one.
I don't think I have that one. Alright, so spellcraft, and I'm shooting for what? Yeah. What is invisibility? Level 2?
Uh-huh.
So that's a 17, right?
What?
Oh shit, that's gonna be close. That's 11. No, plus 9. I'm good.
Cool. You guys spend the day inside. Maybe Goody teams up with Osland to like cook lunch during the day while you guys are studying away and copying spells, and Stormax offering encouragement.
That's right. He's aiding. He's there.
Yeah. Professional librarian. Yeah, the day goes by. If you guys just do that and Flora's sticking around taking care of the wee one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Stormak doesn't do anything with these spellcasters. I'm not really rolling to aid anything. However, I do want to say that he does now have one rank in spellcraft. So he's just listening, he's watching, he might even be understanding some of that.
No, Flora is the only boring one.
To close out the day, in the dead of night, you take a nighttime trip to the temple.
Nice.
So Stormak goes into the temple, and he finds the forge blazing, sits in front of it, prays to Torag. It's extremely serious and stoic, but he has the slight smile of one who knows his purpose. He declares in his native dwarven language, "Mighty Torag, father of creation and all dwarven gods and goddesses, thank you for giving me this chance. For all my life, since I learned to pray as a wee lad, I have prayed to All-Father Torag and All-Mother Fulgrit and All-Sister Bolka and All-Brother Coles, All-Brother Grundenauer, and All-Brother Trud. Throughout the decades of my life, each of you have been inspirational and special to me for different reasons." A single tear rests in Stormak's dark, squinty eyes as he looks into the fire and envisions the images of heavenly dwarves glowing with celestial light. He's only a few sentences into his prayer to the dwarven pantheon before the lone tear runs down his chiseled face into his beard. It's the last tear he will ever cry.
Ooh. All Brother Coles, the Oath Keeper, I begin with you, as this is my oath. Your honorable way of serving your father and protecting your siblings has always been the core of my belief. Please, bear witness. All Brother Trud, the Mighty, your bravery and strength always inspires me. All Brother Grundenar, the Peacemaker, you have been my guide, the shining example of loyalty and friendship, qualities I've valued above others. All Brother, it is thanks to you that I have been able to make allies and friends in this chaotic world. All Sister Bolka, whenever I see a falcon, I think of you and your beauty. As you know, I have hidden a pair of golden wedding rings in a little-known compartment near your church in Yanderhof. It is with the knowledge that you look after those rings that I find courage to continue on in order to make a name for myself before I'm ready to bond myself with another. Love will have to wait, All Sister. I hope my stubbornness does not cause too much frustration. All Mother Fulgrit, patient and responsible. When I saw Sweet Daisy's puppies the other day, I thought of you and how much I miss my home and family. All of civilization is thanks to your compassion and protection. I'm sorry I left my home and my honorable family, but I do not forget them, and I wish only to earn my own honor. Please, All Mother, know that I do not forsake my family, nor yours. My love for you all does not diminish, but I must forge my heart into stronger steel. I must become like the mighty warhammer of All-Father Torag himself. And so...
Stormak stands, flexing his full height, his muscles tense, and he seems to be an inch taller.
All Mighty All-Father Torag, creator of the world, creator of dwarves, I declare my dedication to you alone. My belly is full of fire. My flesh and bones are made of steel and stone. I am from deep in the dark. I have risen upward to the sky. You have made me strong. I give my oath to you, Almighty Torag, that I, Stormak, Strongjaw of Yanderhof, will live as you would have me. I pledge to be honorable and forthright. I pledge to never lie or cheat. I pledge to keep my word in all matters. I pledge to respect the forge and serve the people. I pledge no mercy on the enemies of the people. Though I am just a spark flung from your hammer strike, I serve you, Torag. And he pounds his fist onto the hot anvil. It does no damage to him.
Yeah, nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know if I'll be able to speak tomorrow after that.
that was good.
Very cool. And after a moment, Stormak, you hear footsteps as Father Bolin Proudspark comes up to you.
My friend Stormak.
He turns and looks at him, level in the eyes.
A beautiful oath will make the Allfather proud. I can see you will do great things with your life. You remind me of me, perhaps.
He smiles.
I want to give you something.
And he
turns his... just wait here one moment.
And he goes off into the back of the temple for a moment. A couple minutes, and he comes back out holding a large red cloth bundle in his arms.
That creature was the first thing I'd had to actually fight in quite a while, but if you're going to fight it away from here, you'll need all the help you can get. I see myself in you, and, well, this was a gift to me when I was your age.
And he hands over this big cloth bundle.
When Stormak receives it, yeah, it's a squirming baby manticore. I think as soon as Father Bolin hands it to Stormak, he immediately knows what it is, despite the cloth.
Just the weight and the balance of a massive hammer.
As Stormak takes the cloth off and is holding the hammer by the handle, holding it up between Bolin and himself, and he says,
"This is magnificent, Father. I accept. Thank you."
For some reason, it is quite easy to put faith in you, my friend. Use it to do great things.
He bows his head slightly and smiles.
And this hammer is gorgeous.
Tell us about it.
It's made from this dense gray stone that looks kind of ancient and kind of pitted, but it's incredibly solid and sturdy, and there is intricate carvings of runes all over it.
Without thinking, Stormak casts Detect Magic on it.
Wow, 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 wow.
What?
What's going on?
Stormak, you suddenly see these bright auras emanating from a few items on Bolin, from this hammer, and from places on yourself, even.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome.
Have you just been holding on to that magic for a while, or did we just level
Maybe
up
he's
again?
Always been a wizard.
Whoa. Aww.
Maybe the magic was the friendships he made along the way.
I was just about to say that, Johnny. Damn it.
Weren't we all?
Got it.
No, this is a new level 6 thing. I told you I'm wearing swimming trunks and got a bag of chips because I'm taking a dip.
Dip.
I did not get that joke until you talked about it afterwards, and I was like, that's clever. That's pretty clever.
Duh.
Well, maybe we'll find out what it is next week.
Maybe.
There we go. There's a segue.
There it is.
Is that John on a segue over there?
And you all level down.
No!
burning stone. So please, take the stuff of these bones. Turn out the light. No, I won't need the sign. Leave the keys with the doorman. Lock the front door when I'm done. So cold, and you're too old. So pack up my bones and hit the road. Hit the road.
Yeah, in case anybody's worried about little old Stormac giving away all of his money, worked it out with John so that Stormac looks good according to his taxes, you know, made a big donation.
Nailed it.
So, you know, Stormac wouldn't necessarily go and buy this for himself.
But Ryan would.
Maybe John will edit this out. Yeah, of course I would. I mean, what am I going to do? Just throw my money away? Come on.